Now, last week we began our new series on the parables of Christ, and we're going to begin in Matthew chapter number 13. And this is officially where the parables begin. What we looked at last week, Pastor Buddy reminded me that was more of a metaphor, but the hearers and the doers, but it was a good start in the sense that the teaching of the Lord stood out as superior to the scribes. And here in Matthew chapter number 13, we're going to look at the parable of the sower. I wish I had an hour, but we don't have that much time. So I'd encourage you to study these passages and read them as well. We're going to look at Matthew's account of this parable, chapter number 13. And let's read from verses 3 to 9. To begin with. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. I don't have all your verses in your handout sheet, so you'll need to use your Bibles, amen. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. Verse 3 says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8. But others fell on into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's go to prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word together this evening and know that, Lord, there is something for us in our lives that we can grow in, be stretched in, be challenged in, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have softened hearts this evening so that we would receive your word and we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Help us, Lord, to be open so that we may hear what you desire to say to us this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now here we see the parable of the sower. We know it's the parable of the sower because that's how the Lord describes this parable. And as we look at the different gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark and Luke all have this parable in their accounts. Now, each account gives us a different set of details, so it's important to look at the three accounts, and we're going to be looking, cross-referencing some verses tonight that I've put in your notes. But here we begin with the Lord's parable of the sower. Now, when the Lord explained this parable, he was giving an illustration, a farming picture that everyone understood. And that was the idea of a sower going out to sow seeds. Now, in biblical times, a farmer would carry a sack of seeds across his shoulder, carry that bag of seed around and would grab those seeds and he would scatter it in a circular type fashion. So he'd grab the seed and scatter it, and then he'd walk across his field and scatter it some more. And that was the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving. A sower went forth to sow. But obviously, as we are getting into the parables, we are coming to understand and learn that these parables are taught by the Lord in order to teach an important spiritual truth, in order for it to help us to understand a spiritual truth. In fact, every parable focuses on one great truth. So what was the Lord talking about? Now, the beautiful things about many of these parables, the disciples asked, "Lord, what did that mean?" Amen. I enjoy it when they do that. And then the Lord says, "Well, let me clarify what I meant by this parable." And we are going to look at those clarified verses from verses 18 and onwards, where the Lord says, Matthew chapter 13, notice he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now quickly, what is the seed? What is the seed that the sower is sowing? Well, there in your notes, Luke chapter 8, verse 11, look with me there. In Luke's account, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And in verse 19 it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, Matthew 13 verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So first of all, the seed we understand as the word of God, the gospel, the message of salvation, and the word of God going out, that is what the seed is. Now the sower, who is the sower? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the sower. He is the word, the living word, and he is the one casting out that seed. And what a wonderful truth, just on the side, that is when we sow the seed of the word of God, we are laborers together with God. Amen. What a wonderful joy to know it is the Lord that sows the seed of the word throughout the world. And as we partner with him, we are laborers together with him. And the sower is the Lord. Now, the first blank in your notes, excuse me, was the word seed. I'm going too fast. The word seed. And the second blank, Roman numeral number 2, is the word sower. So we know the seed is God's word. The sower is the Lord, sowing the seed of the word of God. Now remember, we're looking for one main truth. Now the focus of this parable is not on the sower, because there's nothing wrong with the sower, amen? Not at all. It's not on the seed. Now we could talk about the seed in this parable, and there are different applications, but the main thrust of every parable is one great truth. The problem is not with the seed. The problem is with the soil. There in Roman numeral number 3, the soil. The soil. So you see, as the sower went forth to sow, he was doing the right thing. Amen? Absolutely. The seed was the right seed. But, the seed fell on different kinds of soil. And the ability for that seed to grow did not depend on the sower, it did not depend on the seed, it depended on the soil onto which that seed fell. And that is the main thrust of the parable, because the seed represents the word of God, and the main thrust of this parable is on the hearer. Look in your notes there, Roman numeral number 3, I think I put it under number 3. Luke chapter 18, verse 18, it says, take heed therefore how ye hear. That was the Lord's conclusion to the parable of the sower in the book of Luke. So the focus is on the hearer, the hearer. As the farmer would scatter the seeds, they would land on different kinds of soils. And in this parable, the soils represent different kinds of hearts, the different responses to the word of God. And so what the Lord is talking about in the parable of the sower is the different kinds of hearts and their responses to God's word. You see, the condition of our hearts, and this is the real main point of the parable of the sower, the condition of our hearts determine what happens to the word of God in our lives. If our hearts are not right, the word of God will just go where? Wish I could whistle better. But straight over the top of our heads. Gone. You might think, well, Pastor, I'm under the word of God tonight. Isn't it just going to change my life? Isn't it just going to take hold? No. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the sower. What oftentimes is wrong is our own hearts. And that's what the Lord was addressing. Roman numeral number 3 is the soil. And the Lord gives 4 different responses to his word. And again, we'll have to go quickly. First of all, we see the hardened heart. Notice verse number 19. The Lord speaks of the seed which fell by the wayside. Now, in this farming parable, there was some seed that was scattered, but it fell by the wayside. The wayside is those areas of a field that were trodden down by people walking across. You could call them a path. You could call them the areas that people walked on. And the seed in this example of soil did not germinate. It did not penetrate the soil. It laid on the top and nothing happened. The wicked one, in fact, came and took it away. There's some lessons about the devil in there. But ultimately, this is the hardened heart. The seed would lay on top of the soil, and the soil was so compacted by people walking on it, nothing would happen. It would not take root. It would not germinate. It did not spring to life. This is the hardened heart. The wayside is the hardened heart. Roman numeral number one. The blank is the word hardened. Hardened heart. Now this is the person the Lord says in verse 19 that hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Why do they not understand God's word? Is it because the teacher wasn't teaching clearly enough? Is it because there's something wrong with the seed? No, there was something wrong with their heart. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that people reject the gospel? Why do they reject the message of salvation when it's so simple? Or when a preacher preaches it so clearly? Have you ever sat in a church service like I remember sitting in my home church and pastor preached a clear as crystal gospel message, and I may have even brought a friend who was not saved or family member and thought to myself, how could they possibly not have been saved after that service? Why? Well, God, Christ tells us the answer here. Because they have a hardened heart. They've hardened their heart. It's like seed sitting on top of hardened soil. Nothing can develop, nothing can result. And there are people today that have hardened their hearts to the gospel, to the word of God, believe the lies of the devil. Christ explains in Luke chapter 8, verse 12, in the account of this parable, lest they should believe and be saved. So the one with a hardened heart is certainly an unsaved individual. Lest they should believe and be saved. The hardened heart. Now, as we continue on to look at the other soils, in Luke chapter 8, in the account in the book of Luke, the seeds that were sown in the other three soils, the Bible says they sprang up. They sprang to life, there was life, but only one of these soils were fruitful. The condition of the soil determines the fruitfulness of our lives for the Lord. What is our heart like tonight? What is our heart like? Well, the next heart the Lord reveals, represented by the soil in verse 20, is the shallow heart. The shallow heart. Now, these blanks are words I've made up. You could put different words in there. You could write stony heart for this one. As we look at verse 20, I'm just pulling out the application here. The word shallow is point number B. Now, in Israel, where a farmer went forth to sow, there were certain areas that had thick layers of bedrock underneath the soil. So it wasn't the soil that was hardened, but there was a rock layer underneath that soil. So when that seed was sown, when it was cast out, the Bible says, notice verse number 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So that seed was sown into the ground, but the ground was shallow. There was a bedrock underneath the soil, so there wasn't much ground for that seed to germinate. In Luke chapter 8, it says that it sprang forth. Now, this is the second type of heart, which is the shallow heart. The Bible says that in verse 20, this is the heart that hears the word and with joy receiveth it. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now here is someone that receives the word of God, is joyful for a while, but when trials and persecution comes, they wither away. They wither away. There is no depth in the soil. So when you can imagine when the sun comes up, that seed that's been planted in the shallow soil is withered away. The sun comes up and scorches the plant and there is no fruit. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 8 in your notes. When we started the year off, we looked at some New Year's resolutions. And we were encouraged to grow in the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, add to your faith virtue. And there's a whole list of spiritual disciplines we need to add to our lives. And then in verse number 8 it says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Then it goes on to say that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Just because we are a Christian doesn't mean we'll be fruitful. You see, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to bear much fruit. 30-fold, 50-fold, 100-fold. It all depends on the condition of our heart. And our heart can be such as a shallow heart. You see, if we don't grow, there will be no fruit in our Christian lives. There will be no fruit. There will just be a shallow Christian life. And it's possible to be a shallow Christian for the rest of our lives. You see, if we don't grow in the things of God, and I know I've experienced it for myself in an area where, I'll make it personal, so no one is offended by the word, but I've been offended by the word. When I knew that there was something I needed to do, but in that area I wasn't yielded to God, I wasn't willing to obey His word, what happened to me? I became offended. I remember times when my pastor would preach and I would say, "That's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that." Have you ever said that before? And then the Lord continued to deal with me. He didn't let me go. And I thought to myself, wow, if God is speaking, I need to make a decision. Either I trust Him by faith and say, "Yes, Lord, here am I will do this, you're right." Or I could choose not to. Now, when we choose not to, we don't grow in faith. We stay as a shallow Christian that is barren and unfruitful. And that is the shallow heart. You know, as Christians, we should never come to a point where we set limits on what we would do for God. We should never come to a point where we say, "Lord, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. That's not my type of Christianity." And if we have the right soil in our heart, if the right heart condition, really when God wants us to do something, we'll say, "Yes, Lord." Even if we have some hesitation, even if we have some doubts, we would say, "Yes, Lord, there shouldn't be any doubts. Should not be any reservation." We should have the attitude, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do." But we need to understand, if we do not grow as Christians, we will remain shallow Christians with shallow hearts. And guess what? We can sit in church and continually be offended at the word. We can continue to pretend that we are Christians, but yet not want to do what God wants to do. And as that soil of our heart continues to harden, the word of God will just go over the top of our heads. We'll miss what God has for us in our lives. We'll miss the blessings He has for us. You see, our hearts determine what the Word of God does in our lives. Let's continue on. We could talk more, but point number C, we see the crowded heart. The crowded heart. The next example of the Lord is given to us in the seed that was cast. Notice in verse 22, among thorns. "He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now, in the ground here, the problem isn't the shallowness or the depth of the soil. The problem is the weeds. Amen? The Lord says here there are thorns in the ground that are choking the word. What does the Lord explain those thorns are? He says it's the care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. So the Lord says here in His word, if our heart is filled with the love of the world and the love of money, that love will choke out the word of God in your life. To be honest, I could be preaching anything and everything tonight, but if you love the world and if I love the word of God will have no effect at all. We'll just be thinking about what we want to go home and watch on TV tonight. Amen? We'll be thinking about that worldly pursuit, that worldly passion, that worldly relationship, that worldly sin that we're seeking after. This is just a waste of time. The crowded heart. And we can fluctuate between these hearts. The crowded heart. Doesn't the passion and the love of the world stop you from having a passion for the Lord? I know it does. You know, when something gets into my heart that's worldly, and look, it may not be sinful. It may just be that it's crowding out Christ, but if it's crowding out Christ, it's a weed. And when something like that crowds my heart, I don't feel like giving a gospel tract to someone that I know, to someone that I know needs to be saved. I don't feel like being a zealous witness for the Lord. Why? Because my heart is crowded up with the things of the world. What is the result of that kind of heart for you and I? It's that we become unfruitful. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, there's a reason why the Lord says to Christians, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Let me ask you tonight, for example, what the Lord said here. Money, money. How much do you think about money? It's a good question we need to ask. How much do you worry about money? How much do you build your life around money? Do you trust the Lord with your money? Or do you worry about money? There's only one or the other. If our life is filled with the care of riches, we won't do anything for the Lord. Because every decision, every thought, every action we make will all be channeled down to the bottom line. How can I make more money? But if we trust the Lord with our money, it will show forth in fruit. For example, tithing. How do we trust God with our finances? We tithe. That is a supernatural act. To give money to the Lord, believing, yes, Lord, you first provided for me, and I'm just giving back a portion, Lord, that belongs to you. Missions giving. These are just a couple of areas. Missions giving. We stretch our faith in trusting the Lord. It's a good way for us to exercise trusting God in the area of our money. But understand, it's the love of money that Christ says specifically will crowd out our heart for Christ. I dare say there are many would-be missionaries that should be on the field today, but instead they took up full-time jobs at a well-paying company because ultimately their pursuit is comfort and money rather than the passion to sow the seed of the Word of God where God might send them. Missions is a burden on my heart as a pastor. And definitely, we ought to have a burden to sow the seed. But we won't be able to be used of God if we have a crowded heart. Now, thankfully, the Lord gave one more example of a heart, amen? And this is what we all can be as Christians, the soft heart. Notice, lastly, verse 23, in your blank, point number D, the soft heart. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So notice quickly with me as we close, this heart wasn't shallow, certainly wasn't hardened, wasn't shallow, it wasn't crowded, it was soft. It was yielded to God, open to the Lord, to the seed of His Word being sown in the heart. Throughout these accounts, this heart is described as one that understands, one that receives, and one that keeps the Word of God. Let me ask you tonight, when you come to church on Sunday, how's your heart? How's your heart? Are you coming to receive the Word of God with the attitude, Lord, if you rebuke me, Lord, I want you to change my life. Lord, I don't want to go away the same person I came in. When you read the Bible, is that your desire? Lord, speak to me that I may know you more. You see, many times we don't get anything out of our quiet times because ultimately the condition of our heart is not right. There's something we're loving more than the Lord. There's something in the way. Perhaps we haven't grown in faith and we're just stuck. And when we come to our Bibles, it's just a chore. We need softened hearts, don't we? Because that's the only heart that will receive the Word of God, that will enable us to be changed into the image of Christ. And guess what? Bearing fruit. And that's the most exciting thing in the Christian life. To be used of God to bear fruit. The Lord Jesus said, it's my will for you as Christians to bear much fruit. God can use us wonderfully. But we need to get our hearts right with God. Amen. Or else the Word will just go off the top of our heads. We can come to church every Sunday. We can read our Bibles every day, but if our hearts are not right, then we will not grow. Christ will be crowded out and we will not bear fruit. What kind of heart do we have? Let me encourage you tonight to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to come back to a place where I was excited about your word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me come back to a place where your word was like honey in my mouth. It was sweet to the taste because, Lord, I knew how precious you are in my life and how precious your word. We need to pray prayers like that, don't we? Because we need revival. We need God to revive our hearts. If we're not willing for him to break up the fallow ground, if you will, then we'll just stay as we are, unchanged, unfruitful. And sadly, at the judgment seat of Christ, what will be rewarded? The fruit. The fruit will be rewarded. Now, the good soil, by the way, there are some missionaries, I guarantee you, will produce hundredfold of fruit. Some of us will just produce 30-fold. The Lord doesn't criticize the different amounts of fruit. All fruit is for the glory of God. Some of us have been given different talents. Some of us have been given different responsibilities. The question is, are we producing fruit? The Lord will reward us according to the responsibilities and the gifts that he's given us. Amen. The question isn't comparing the fruit in verse number 23. The question is, are we bearing fruit? And if we're not, there's something wrong with our hearts. At least we know what the problem is. Amen. As a pastor, I tell you what, I am thankful and comforted by this parable. I would go mad if I would walk away on Sunday and say, well, the results of the responsiveness to God's word is based upon my performance. I would go insane. And let me say this. Why is it some people get saved and then they're gone? Now, of course, some were not genuinely saved. But what about those who were saved? What happened to them? Where did they go? Was it because we didn't have the rock band? Was it because that something was wrong, dare I say it, with the preacher? Now, sometimes it says something wrong with the preacher, amen. But there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the sower. It's the heart that's the problem. It's the heart. As we witness, maybe I'll save this for Saturday. For those of you that come on Saturday, I'll share this on Saturday at the soul winning class. But there's some lessons for our witness in this also. But what is the condition of our heart? His parables are very convicting. And they encourage you to continue to come. Amen. God wants to work in our hearts. Wants to help us to grow. The parable of the sower. Let him soften your heart so that when the word is given, it takes hold in a supernatural way that results in lives changed. Amen.